You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch-related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is no different. It's a really exciting show this week. So today I'm joined by Laura Callahan of Willow HR. And Laura is going to be providing you, the listener, with a really, really interesting HR update, which I'm sure impacts all of our businesses. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to introducing Laura after this. Get Radio. Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is the Business Brunch. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking all about the world of HR. And to do that, we've been kindly joined by Laura Callahan of Willow HR. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Ben.
Thanks so much for joining us. So for those who don't know you, they definitely should, but do tell them all about you and indeed your business.
Thank you very much, Ben. So I'm Laura from Willow HR, and for the past 8 years, we've been supporting predominantly small to medium business owners to maximise their greatest investment, which is their people. So we're delivering a personalised consultancy service and delivering high quality strategic people support and advice as and when they need it.
Amazing, amazing. And I really look forward to talking more about that over the next hour. But before that, the most difficult question we ask, I guess, is to choose a song on the radio and become the radio DJ for a couple of moments. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
My song choice is James Sit Down. It was a song I absolutely loved in the 90s while I was a teenager. And I'm super duper excited to be seeing them at Isle of Wight Festival. I've seen James a couple of times, but they're at Isle of Wight Festival this year. And so I know this iconic song is going to be the very last one that they play. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing it live again.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Laura, which she's very looking forward to seeing at the Isle of Wight Festival, we heard about Laura's business, Willow HR, and today we are talking about the world of HR. So let's start, Laura, with quite a big question. What's happening in the world of HR right now?
So there's really big stuff that's happening in the compliance area, which is really a very small portion of what we do, but it's at the moment at the forefront of a lot of business owners' minds because so much is changing. And so we're seeing new legislation emerging. We've got the neonatal leave entitlement that is effective from April. We've got the day one rights that's being consulted on so that all of your employees will have full rights from day one, as opposed to at the moment for 2 years of service before they're able to claim things such as unfair dismissal. So that's kind of the talking point and a lot of what's in the news. But that's, as I say, is a really small portion of what we're talking to our clients about. And so there's probably two very big emerging conversations that we're having increasingly with our clients beyond the compliance. I'm sure your accountant, Ben, has probably inundated you with updates, and I will have inundated you with updates on these different things as well. So people can't miss this. And so if there's a business owner that doesn't know about the changing of employment rights, I'd be very, very surprised. But there's two other risk areas that, as I say, of the conversations that we're having more and more. And one of them, of course, is the emergence of the AI technology. We're talking a lot to our clients around what are their expectations, what are their industry norms, what do they feel as though their teams should be doing to leverage the efficiencies and productivity savings, but also what are their expectations so that their team are not inadvertently making mistakes. It's emerging technology, so you're not going to have anyone in your business who's going to be a resident expert in it so far, because we're all learning. Absolutely. We're all touching and feeling our way through. But we are seeing that there are people that mistakes are being made. For example, client data, customer data being put into an AI platform, which we know that is a big no-no, but have we set that expectation? Have we been super clear with our teams about that? Is there a preferred platform so that we can drive consistency around the look and the feel? Are we embracing it and talking to our teams very openly to say, we want you to be using it, because it does mean it gets us from a blank sheet of paper to 50% there very, very quickly. But don't forget to use your skills and knowledge and experience to make and customize that so that it's ready to go out to your client or your customer. So that is really exactly what they're going to pay for. We don't want to feel as though our clients or customers are receiving something we have simply churned out from an AI platform without putting our skills to it first. So what is it you're expecting your team to do? What is it you're not expecting them to do? And if there are any people who are not using it already, how are you going to encourage them and but embrace it? And there's some fear of AI in some corners as well. So you're probably going to find some of your team are using it, some of your team aren't, and some are simply dipping their toe. So what do you want from AI within your business? Unfortunately, as and when, you know, things go wrong, you need to be able to have the leverage to call out any potential misconduct or issues, or learn from those and share that with your team. So having a very clear stance on how to use that technology within your business is essential right now. One of the suggestions that we're making is around having working groups, picking people from different parts of your business who may be using it in different ways, so that you can inform yourself and inform each other on how best to leverage that technology. But it's going to be iterative until we're a few years down the line. For me, in terms of how this is changing the workplace, it feels almost like the advent of the internet. And it's going to be game changing in a lot of areas. So don't fall behind by not using it, but equally don't trip up by using it without thinking very carefully about how you can best gain those efficiencies and productivity savings for your business. So that's one really big topic. You're about to say something like that. Over.
No, just on that AI piece, I think that, you know, we both network, we both deal with businesses. And I think that you will have the very techie businesses that are all over this, always looking for the latest thing. And then you'll have some businesses who, as we've touched on, will be fearful or maybe not know, and maybe micro businesses. So let's paint an alias here. So business owner, two staff members, that one staff member says we should start using AI. From a purely a HR perspective, should there be a HR, should there be an AI policy that could go into a contract or into an employee handbook as a starting point? And one of the things you touched on, which I thought was great, which I'm keen to kind of build more on, is that piece around, if there is a mistake, what do we do around this mistake? Do we learn from it together? Do we need to have a process in terms of how to deal with that? I'm just keen to build on those two pieces, if that's okay.
Absolutely. So, and I'll take the second piece first. So it's around, if you've been very clear and had the conversation with your team around your expectations and how you want them to use it, and there is something where they have they've not been abiding by those rules. For example, never put client data into an AI platform. So, and a really key example of how we use it within my business is if we're drafting a letter, if we're drafting a contract clause, if we're drafting a real kind of niche policy, we will put those terms into the AI platform and it will spit out something, as I said, about 50% complete. We're not putting any employee names in there. We're not putting any client names in there. We're certainly not putting any data in there of any degree, financial data, employee data, anything. None of that is going in there. So we would make sure that anything we're putting in is completely benign and could not be attributed to any person, business, or even, you know, an industry. So if then you find that you've had that conversation with your team to say, be aware, this is something that we're, as a business, in order for our own data security, this is how we're using it. Then if you find your team member has been putting the data in there, you've had the explicit conversation. So then you can hold that employee to account. Now, there may be, as I say, you know, this is an iterative process. This is an emerging technology. It could be that somebody slips up and trips up. So having a culture in your organization, a learning culture where somebody says, I think I've made a mistake here, or something has happened, we need to learn from that, and we need to then share that learning with others. So having an open culture where people don't fear coming and saying, we have a problem. So that kind of that safety of being of people feeling happy to talk about what they've got wrong is going to enable you to inform yourself and others around how best to use the technology. But if you've not had the conversation, if you've not set aside some kind of rules of engagement, if something goes wrong, you're going to really struggle to take formal action. Now, most often, of course, it would be that somebody's made a slight error and we can learn from it. But if somebody's made a big mistake that is going to potentially risk your business, your client's business, or something quite significant, you need to be able to take action on that basis. And so, and this is a kind of conversation we're having, which is, this has gone wrong, but you know, what can we do about it? And in some cases, we're kind of saying, well, the only thing you can do is communicate to others to say, you know, this is not something that, or this is how we're going to use it or shouldn't use it, to just kind of learn from that mistake, where potentially, realistically, is that that more kind of formal action would have been more helpful. So not preventing yourself from being able to take action is really important by having the rules of engagement, having the conversation. And then going back to your very first piece, which is you've got two employees, you know that this technology exists. How do you start? Where do you kind of go from? And I go back to the point, which is if business owners think their teams aren't using it, then you're absolutely wrong. Your team members are going to be aware of it. And so you will need to be able to talk quite openly around how can we benefit as a business from use of the technology, asking others, trying things out, trying different platforms, talking within your own networks as well. You're likely to be very well connected with people from within your industry. So have an open conversation around how others are using the technology, and how that could potentially benefit your business as well. But just keep learning, keep being curious about the application of it, but very much eyes wide open to making sure that it's going to benefit rather than be a something that's going to risk or going to distract or going to be something that's going to be a negative impact on your clients.
Amazing. No, really, really good advice. And one of the other things you touched on at the start of the section, which I thought is really, really important to touch on, is day one rights. So a lot of business owners will listen who don't have such a great HR provision as working with Willow HR, obviously, and will say, well, should we not hire? What if the person doesn't work out? What if we employ somebody and we decide, for whatever reason, let's use a stereotypical sales scenario, employ a salesperson, they don't sell anything. What is the reality of this change of legislation, and what does it really mean to the Oxfordshire business?
So this consultation is ongoing. So we don't yet have the definitive points that are going to be used in this change and the legislation. What we do know is they are going to allow there to be a probationary period. So that if you hire a new person and they don't work out, they don't deliver against what they should, or are unable to use the skills that you need in your business, there is an opportunity where through that probationary period, you could take action and potentially exit somebody. So it shouldn't prevent people from hiring. The key message there is around the probationary period process, and the current information we have is that as long as there is a robust and transparent probationary period process, you will start to exit. And they are going to allow a specific period of time, a maximum period that a probationary period can extend to. So quite often at the moment we see kind of 3 months, maybe 6 months of a probationary period. It may go up to 9 months. You know, it's that detail is just being drafted. So you will still be able to exit somebody, but what we're advising our clients right now is get that probationary period process and running. Because at the moment, where we have the 2-year waiting period before our employees acquire their employment rights, it means that people can be somewhat relaxed about that probationary period. And they may have a policy in their handbook, they may have clauses in contracts, but they aren't necessarily following a robust process. So we're saying to people, get that process in place now, practice it, refine it, get everybody in the habit of actually doing it. So then as and when the legislation comes out and the detail emerges, it's a case of it's a very small tweak. Mm. Otherwise, we're going to be going from a wholesale change of one day. We're kind of like, it's on paper, but it doesn't really mean very much. Mm. It's okay, we've got 2 years, to the next minute being, oh, sugar, we need to exit somebody from the business who hasn't worked out.
Mm.
Our process isn't strong enough that would enable us to do that within the current legislation.
Amazing.
The worry is, and the narrative is, of course, that it's going to stop people from hiring because it is more expensive to hire people now. It is going to get harder to exit somebody if they don't work out. One of the things I think we're going to see is more emergence of fixed term contracts. So temp to perm. Ben, you're in the recruitment world, you don't see so much temp to perm anymore. But back when I first started out 20 years ago, you would see temp to perm contracts. So I think what we might kind of see is people using 12-month fixed term contracts and almost using that as a probation period. So I'll hire you for a 12-month contract. And at the end of it, we can then decide if we have a permanent employment relationship. So there's always going to be ways in which people are going to work around it as well. So I think we're going to see some changes culturally in that hiring and the expectations of employees and employers through this legislation, some intended and some unintended.
Mm, absolutely. No, really, really good insight. Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts so far, Laura. We'll continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend heading over to the Get Radio website and listening back to the podcast version. As today, we're joined by Laura from Willow HR, and we've really been sharing an update, or Laura's been sharing an update, I won't take the credit, on updates on HR and how will it impact your Oxfordshire business and maybe some of the things to consider. Something else that I think is really, really keen to talk about is HR itself. And I think that we have different, I guess, the spectrum of HR support, isn't there? You have some businesses who set up, they use ChatGPT to maybe get a contract. They have no HR advice and hope something doesn't go wrong. Let's put that at one end of the spectrum. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, where let's pick on, I don't know, Innocent Smoothie. They get a lot of reputation for being a great employer, don't they? Innocent Smoothie, who are really engaged. They're contenders for the Times Top 100 Best Employers. Then you've got lots of small businesses who might not be able to have their own HR department, but can work with a great professional like you in terms of outsourced HR. So I'm just keen to really share the options with those Oxfordshire business owners listening now in terms of what should you be doing in the form of HR as your minimum, and what are your options around that in terms of outsourced HR, et cetera, et cetera?
So what I would recommend every single business owner to do is to have a HR person in their Rolodex. Share my there, but having somebody who you can call upon if something's... if you have, for example, one or two employees, you absolutely, you must have, it's your legal obligation to provide a contract of employment. So
absolutely.
If you've, and we see people who have borrowed from a mate, we see people who have written their own, we see people who have paid lawyers thousands for something that's way over and above what they need, and thing in between. So you definitely need to have contracts of employment regardless. But having somebody who you can call upon if something happens is absolutely essential. So building a relationship with somebody that you feel gels with, who you are, your brand, and somebody who can get to know you. So a real kind of decent HR consultancy is not going to charge you to develop a relationship and an understanding of each other so that can be called upon if there were to be something to happen. So it's far easier to prevent issues and far cheaper to prevent them from happening than it is to sort them out when they go wrong. So having things in place such as policies, processes, and a firm kind of understanding as to what the terms and conditions are is, you know, we would recommend that and advocate that getting that set up first of all is really important. But like I say, the compliance area, which is what we're talking about here, is you know, 5% of what we do. It is understanding what are the challenges in your business right now. What are the obstacles that you're needing to overcome? How is your industry changing? How are you staying ahead? You need to grow. How are you going to do that whilst maintaining the great culture? Because we work with many owner-managed businesses where this is literally their baby, and they care deeply about making sure that as it grows, as it expands, or sometimes as it shrinks, it maintains that real key purpose, that core reason why they got up that day and they decided to start this thing that they then have as a business, as an employer. So that's a lot more around how we operate to support that strategic direction and the overall delivery of the business objectives, whatever that may be. And a conversation we're having increasingly as well, aside from the AI topic, is around high performance cultures. And that's a conversation I've had twice this week already with different firms, because what we do see now across most industries, if not all, is that it has become more expensive to employ people, and it's only going to get more expensive in the future in the coming months. But what we also see is that everyone's costs are increasing, their fixed costs, their variable costs, materials are more expensive, energy is more expensive, travel is more, everything is more expensive. So as everyone kind of looks and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to save money? Or how are we going to drive our bottom line? All of a sudden, everyone's kind of looking to HR and saying, how can we get more out of our people? And that's the conversations really that business owners need to be thinking about, is that how can they maximize on this really critical asset that they have, which is their people? What are the expectations of your team? How are you going to draw as much value as you can out of that by having mutually beneficial relationships? What is it that they're, what can you give to them? Because unless we can be really explicit about what's in it for them, we're not going to get that bit of discretionary effort over and above, I turn up, I do my job, I go home. Your people as an asset are really unique in that over and above simply I've delivered what you've asked of me, they've got this real big chunky section of discretionary effort that you can tap into. You can get more out of your people, but how are you going to do that? And we could speak for hours just on that topic alone. But that's the kind of thing for the business owners to be thinking about, is not only that compliance piece, you know, what if something goes wrong, having that person to call, and also having that sounding board. You know, for quite a lot, we'll have business owners call us and say, this is what I'm thinking, is that right? And 9 times out of 10, we're saying, absolutely, you know, go on with full confidence that what you're thinking is exactly the right thing to do. But for them to be thinking even more, how you are going to get ahead as a business is if you are thinking far more around that discretionary effort, how you're going to engage that team, how you're going to bring them on that journey with you, how you're going to make sure they are just as enthusiastic and just as driven towards your goal as you are. There's a whole piece really around that. And that's going to be the differentiator that we're going to see. This is why HR is getting so much focus at the moment, is because everyone's looking to us to say, give us more from what we already have. And so that's really tapping into that discretionary effort.
No, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. The single biggest reason that I see candidates or employers ending that relationship is because of misaligned aspirations. And I think that we've all heard, I've gone as far as I can go, or this person's gone as far as they can go. But actually, I think if we're having those regular communications, it might be that Fred leaves your organization after 7 years, after 4 promotions, and great. But actually, if you're having those regular conversations around aspirations, then you can plan for that and work together. So hugely see the value, hugely, hugely, hugely see the value there. One of the things you touched on there is when the business owner picks up the phone to you and says, Laura, what do I do about this? Or can I gain your thoughts on this? And I think that one of the things I've spoken a lot, and there's logic to the madness, I'm not going completely off piece here, that I've mentioned a lot, and I just think it's wonderful, is the Marcus Rashford advert from Google about racism. It's okay to wonder, and it was somebody Googling, is this offensive with Marcus Rashford? And I think it is okay to wonder. So how I'm turning this together isn't talking about that advert, but I guess what I'm keen to kind of build on is, in under the umbrella of HR, what are the risks to guessing and what are the risks to just doing without wondering? And if somebody doesn't have a HR provider at the moment, what's the process of being onboarded with a HR provider like somebody like yourself? Does that make sense? I went all around the houses there a little bit.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So to answer the second question first, which is within HR consultancies, retainer options are very, very commonplace. So that you sign up with HR consultancy firm, you get a contract with them, there is a minimum number of consultancy hours, and here are the added benefits, yada, yada, yada. Mm. So there's that option, which is very commonplace, and lots of businesses tap into that. But then for us at Willow HR, what most of our clients are completely ad hoc. They are not signing up for a monthly amount. So they are tapping into that resource as and when they need it. Perhaps they don't need it every month or every week, but they need to have somebody who they can call upon when they need to. So finding the right consultancy business for you as a business owner is important. Do you want ad hoc? Do you want somebody who you are having weekly conversations with? Do you want somebody who they're spending time physically present in your business and visible to your team? Or is it something that's remote? So lots of HR consultancies in Oxfordshire. I love my profession because we all support each other. We're all really well connected with one another. And I know that if the way we work isn't suitable for somebody, or they're looking for really kind of like niche industry experience, I will give them three names of other people that they can go to as well. So lots of different options out there. Find the right format, solution, and expertise and culture of that consultancy business that you feel is going to suit you and represent your brand and your business into your teams, and even externally in some cases. So that answers that question. And then the other one, which is around, so you can Google, you know, the if you need some advice on something or you have an issue, yes, you can Google it. The piece, though, that we bring into it, of course, is, you know, 20 years, my 20 years of experience, my team's, you know, at one point we had kind of 100 years of HR experience in the team. So what we're doing is we're drawing on that and we're saying, right, so these are the different options that are available to you. What's your risk appetite? So sometimes people are highly risk averse for very, very good reasons. And other times there are reasons it's appropriate to say, we will give this a try and see if it works. So that's the piece that you can't get from Google, is that we've seen this 20 times before. And I remember I had a conversation with a business owner 2 years ago, and I said to them, I'm going to tell you how this story ends. I know how this story ends. And you just need to tell me when you're ready for that ending to happen. The story did end in the way that I said it would, with a lot of pain and a hell of a lot of cost along the way. But kind of holding their hand through it and being able to say, right, well, at this juncture, these are the options that are available to you. But as a business owner, you make decisions that are right for your business. But we can bring in that knowledge and experience to say, at this point, this is what we'd recommend or advise. And that's why it's really important that somebody gets to know your business and gets to know you. One of the business owners that we work with, there will be a slightly different way that we might work with each of them. And so when they come to us, perhaps with the same issue, we would give different advice for the different solution, because we know them and we know what they would be looking for, and culturally what would fit with their business as well.
Amazing. No, really, really good advice. Time for another song. We'll continue the conversation after this.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking all about HR, really, really focused on you, the owner-managed business. And to do that, we've been joined by Laura Callahan of Willow HR, who's kindly sharing her knowledge and expertise with you, the listener. So let's bring the conversation on, Laura. And let's talk about what else is key to consider. So we've spoken a lot about legislation, we've spoken a lot about values and that owner-managed business piece, we've spoken about AI. What are the other hot topics that are happening in HR at the moment, and things maybe for our listeners to consider?
One is about having a very purposeful and culture. So having an intentional culture, what is it that you, how do you want that to look and feel? So culture is merely how things are around here. It's sometimes it's the intangible, sometimes it's the unspoken, sometimes it's sometimes it's explicit, but around how do you want people to feel in your business? And there are many options then around how you can create those cultures, but what's important is you create that intentional culture. And you understand again what it is you're trying to achieve with your business. So for example, it might be that you're wanting highly efficient, highly productive, lots of repetition. It could be around our offering to you is that we're going to provide you with a job that you can turn up to, do your shift, go home again at the end. And this is what we're going to do to make that really comfortable for you while you're here. Or this is how we're going to look after you. So you're turning up each day and you're doing that. In other cases, it may be that we're expecting you to work over and above this discretionary effort piece. So what are we going to do? So what development are we going to offer you? So, you know, as you say, Ben, that when we see we're talking in exit interviews with employees, it's development opportunities, most people going on for development opportunities. So what can we do within this business to make sure that we retain and we leverage as much of that person's skills, knowledge and behaviors while they're here, but in return we're going to make sure that we're giving more to them, so whenever they leave us they're going to leave with more than what they joined us with. So it could be a development culture. It could be something where it's purpose-led. It could be something where we're not going to be paying huge amounts of money. We're not going to be offering the benefits. We're not going to be offering fancy lunches. We're not going to be going to annual conferences. But what we are going to be doing is make a massive difference within our communities. So what do you stand for? And how are you going to talk about that with your team members? How are you going to make that then that mutually beneficial relationship? And it enables them to ensure that those people who are joining, if you can talk about, this is what we represent, this is how we operate, this is how it looks and feels from the inside, you're then going to be able to far easier then to be able to bring in the right people who are going to fit with that culture, if you can describe it. So then you don't have unmet needs, you don't have differences and gaps in expectations versus what you're going to deliver for somebody. It enables you to select your team members better, but it also enables your candidates to self-select more effectively as well. Is this what I'm looking for? Actually, I want the higher salary. I want someone who's going to invest a lot of money in my training. Therefore, the purpose-led business isn't going to be for me. Or it's actually about the difference I'm making in the world. And if I'm not making a difference, I'm not interested. Therefore, that kind of high performance, highly driven, but perhaps, you know, commercial, private sector, maybe that's not for you. So really knowing what it is you stand for, communicating that and articulating that through all of your communications to your teams internally and the messaging externally as well.
No, absolutely. No, really, really good advice. Really, really good advice. And just moving the conversation on slightly, and I'm going a little bit off topic here, but I think that it is quite topical at the moment. It's quite key. It's been widely reported that the cost of hiring somebody has increased. There's the national insurance, there's the minimum wage but also I think if we go back a little bit further, there is the cost of living crisis, and I think that it's really, really important to all of us as business owners that we are creating that win-win. So we're winning as a business, the business is growing, the business is sustainable, but also our staff are feeling supported and they're able to live and they're able to have nice lives. So I think just in that scenario, I think that if you do have concerns about the cost of hiring staff, what can you do about that? And I appreciate I'm really trying to ask you here to pull a rabbit out of the hat, but what are the sort of things to consider if X role no longer makes sense? So we've always been really great on employing apprentices, but apprentices are now so much more expensive that we'd be losing so much money and we can't stomach that money. Like what are some of the things to consider, Laura?
So you could consider part-time, for example. So instead of, I would always advocate bringing people in early career and those people who are at the beginning of their career, because you will, what you can do for that person is incredible to bring them on in their careers, but also it still works out to be a lower cost option to hire trainees, graduates, college leavers, apprentices at that end. But the cost of employing those is almost as much as it is to bring in people with a bit of experience. So we are going to see there's going to be a reduction in those early opportunities, which is a massive, massive shame. And I don't quite know how that gap is going to get plugged, because there's a danger that there's a generation of people who are going to really struggle to get those opportunities because of the costs associated. But for a small business owner to think about how am I going to bring in the expertise, the skills, the knowledge that I need, is to think about, well, do I bring somebody in who's more experienced, but bring them in on a part-time basis? Do I, instead of having a HR person, I tap into that expertise and I have that as an external consultant? So I think what we're going to see is much more kind of freelancers, as people are less willing to hire, and the constraints and the costs that go alongside it, is we'll tap into a few hours of consultancy support instead. We don't then have the liability of a hire, but we are able to manage our costs by tapping into really a few hours of that support. So we might kind of see there's more kind of multifunctional people within businesses who are operating with the support and guidance of perhaps some external expertise as well. So we might see a bit more of an emerging trend of people who are multi-skilled within organizations. So part-time is always, an option. External support is another option to consider. But knowing what are those key levers? What does your business need to deliver? What are the inputs that are going to enable you to produce your outputs? What does that look like for you? And again, that's another conversation that we would be having with our clients, is around what is your resourcing requirement and how can we fulfill them? And really thinking carefully about each of those hires. Whereas, Ben, you know, like just a couple of years ago, lots of hiring, especially post-COVID, we saw a real boom in people going out there and looking for team members. That trend is now slowing down really to an incredibly slow pace. That's kind of, to use, you know, words that we've heard many times before, unprecedented. So that pausing is definitely something that we're seeing a lot. But doing nothing is often the worst of all solutions.
Absolutely.
And so speaking to people such as yourself, Ben, around what can we do? So go out to your recruiters and say, I need this expertise. I can't afford a full-time person, or I don't know whether that's the right option. What else could I do? And lean on people like you, Ben, and like me, to say, what else is there out there? And get that and seek that counsel from people who can give you the different options. And again, use your networks as well. What are other people doing?
Absolutely. I also think another thing to mention is, I completely agree, recruitment has really slowed. But actually, I think that often when the market is doing X or going left, and you go, right, there is opportunity. So I don't mind sharing within our business, we're about to bring, well, we're bringing three extra hires in, two of which I am 99.9% sure there's no way we would have been able to attract them previously, with lots and lots of experience, from one of which from one of the world's largest brands within to our tiny SME. So I think that there is definitely opportunity. But as you say, I think the most important thing is to have a plan, be well thought out, be intentional, and really, really consider what does that future look like. We are coming to the very final stint of the show, Laura, so thank you so much for your input. It's time really does fly, doesn't it? One of the things that I think, I sound like a bit of a fraud when I'm asking you to do this, because you've been giving loads and loads of tips across the show, but one of the things I do like to do is leave the listener with one tip, whether it be something that I've not asked you, whether it be something that they should just get their highlighter out and highlight in their, obviously, 15 pages on their notepad that they've been making throughout the show. What would be like your takeaway tip, whether it be something we've discussed before or something fresh?
Take a pause. Just put something, and do it today. Take a pause, go for a walk, sit in a dark, quiet room, sit in the garden. If you've got a sunny moment, a sunny patch of the garden, take a pause and just sit and think, what do I really need to achieve this year? What do I want to achieve this year? And think very carefully about what those things are, and then consider, do I have what I need in order to deliver against this? And so being purposeful, being intentional about the direction that you're heading in, and thinking about, do I have everything there? And if you don't, Often, we, for as business owners, the last thing, and I say this, and I should take more of my own advice, is taking that pause and taking that breath and thinking very carefully about what do I want and can I achieve it with what I have? And if the answer is no, it's going out and finding and speaking to those people who are going to challenge you, who are going to champion you, who are going to support you, but who are also going to be able to offer you potentially some advice to enable you to think about a different perspective to your own.
Amazing. Great advice. And what a way to end the show. So thank you so much, Laura, for joining me this morning and for sharing so much knowledge and expertise with the listeners. It's really, really appreciated. If you are just tuning in, we have had Laura Callahan of Willow HR. So please, please do check out their website and follow Laura on LinkedIn. We are going to be back next week with some brand new guests talking about topics, as always, that impact on you, the local business owner. And really, really looking forward to that. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show online and on the radio every Sunday at 11 a.m, and that's been the case for 210 shows now, so we're flying through. There is also a podcast version which is available on all major podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning, and do look out for the video format on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in your business or personally, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.